you'll turn with me, I'm going to read from three different books tonight. 2 Timothy 4, 1 Corinthians 9, Acts chapter 20. Hallelujah. God is a great God. He has touched us here tonight. I feel it. He was blessing us here this morning. But I believe I got a word from the Lord here tonight for you. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I want you to look at how Paul looked at living for God. He said, I have fought a good fight. So as we live for God, folks, we are fighting against things that are constantly coming at us. Amen? It is a battle. Don't ever fool yourself into thinking that you can just cruise your way into heaven, because it is a battle. He said, I have finished my course. That means he started out to finish something. Right? He said, I have kept the faith. In other words, no matter what came his way, he's serving God. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. Look at here. So we read in the first scripture, I finished my course. He's saying in 1 Corinthians 9 that it is a race. He said, we're going to run this race. But there's only one person that can get the prize. So run that you may obtain it. There is a prize waiting for you. There is blessings. God has a mansion for you. Are you going to get it? Acts 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Let's pray. Lord, right now, we ask God that you just move here today, that you'll touch us here today. And God, that you'll speak to us, I pray. God, let your will be done right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let your will be done here today. God, I give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. You can be seated. I want to speak to you today. Running the race to win. Running the race to win. Now, folks, God has called, and God has a call, I should say, and he has a unique purpose for everyone's life. God wants us to break out of mediocrity. And he wants us to step up to a life with purpose. A life with vision to fulfill the task that God has for you. Do you believe that tonight? God has that for you. But here, I read something the other day, or my son actually read it to me. It was from First Church in Texas. It says, if you only do what you feel comfortable doing, hear me tonight. I'm going to read this again. If you only feel what you feel comfortable doing, you don't need Jesus. Think about that. God's best, folks, is often found outside of your comfort zone. God has things for us today. And he wants you to get out of your comfort zone to get what he has for you. To fulfill God's destiny in your life, you need to be certain of some things. We need to be certain that if you are a believer and that you are a part of a Bible-believing, faith-building church. You need that in your life if you want to finish this course. If you want to win this race, you see, our purpose and life is directly linked to our relationship with Jesus Christ. You cannot and you will not find your purpose outside of a committed life to Jesus Christ. It is God who brought us into existence. And he did so with a different set of plans and a different purpose that is very unique to us. We must be assured it is God who is orchestrating our lives, and apart from him, folks, there is no ultimate meaning. You see, it is only through Jesus Christ that we can be integrated into the will of God. So the first step into finding God's purpose into your life is to be sure that we as believers follow Jesus Christ. See, there are a lot of people that because they live in America or because they are from a Christian believing home, Or that they do good things and they treat other people good, and because they believe in Jesus and they say they are believers, they call themselves Christians. Folks, you need to understand that none of those things are sufficient. In Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is only through direct relationship with Jesus Christ that we are true believers. We also must appreciate, hear me tonight, we must appreciate your unconditional acceptance by God. Every day, folks, we get bombarded with signals from society and from our culture about what we have to do in order to be acceptable in this life. They'll tell you that you have to be cool. Amen? They'll tell you you've got to measure up, and you have to use the right kinds of products. You or wear the right kinds of clothes. We are told that our clothes are all wrong. Our teeth are dingy. Our skin is lifeless. We don't smell right. We're too fat or we're too skinny. Our hair is dull and lifeless, and we drive the wrong car. Come on. You hear it? If we carry that over into our spiritual realm, Satan continually uses one of his main weapons, and that is accusations. You see, he tries to make us feel as if we are unworthy as individuals. And he tries to convince us, amen, that God cannot love or God cannot forgive us. That we are too bad. We are too sinful. We are too much trouble for God. We are not worth it. Amen. But folks, Romans 5 verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Satan tonight is a liar. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. While you were uncool, God loved you. While you were still fat or too skinny, God loved you. While you were driving the wrong kind of car, God loved you. While you're still smelly and lifeless hair, God loved you. While you were too mean and ugly, God loved you. God loved us. Even he loved us enough that he died for us. Church, I tell you, it is not about what we can do. It is about what he did. Hallelujah. You see, we need to also celebrate our God-given value and our uniqueness. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, all of us are of such great value that God gave his son to pay a price for us. To God, you have value. Hear me. I said, to God, you have value. You have enough value that he was willing to die for you. And until you accept that, until you accept the love of God, you will not really know your purpose and the destiny of your life and what it is all about. We have to embrace God's discipline. Now, I know some of you are already thinking, here it comes. This is the part of the sermon that where we hear we have to pray more, and we have to give more, and we have to read more, and we have to be more, and da 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 da. In 1 Corinthians 9:24 and 26 says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. You see, the difference between a runner and me in a marathon is he runs and I don't. The difference between a cyclist and me is that he rides a bike and I don't. So every now and then, you will find someone who says, I tried that church stuff, and it just doesn't work for me. Or I tried the God thing, and it didn't feel anything from it. But see, most often, these kind of people, they tried one aspect of church or one aspect of God, and they didn't see results they were hoping for, so they discounted the whole thing. Now, a lot of people, they have a diet mentality for spiritual things. You see, when they start a diet, they are required to skip food or skip meal and eat certain foods. And they try it for one day, or in some cases, maybe even one meal. And they try to get on the scales. And if they don't see a reduction in weight, they brand that diet as a failure. And they tell their friends and they tell their other people around them, well, I just can't lose weight. I've tried every diet there is. The truth is, folks, a diet takes more than just one meal. It takes more than just one week. A diet is a lifetime commitment. You see, folks, it is a matter of retraining our patterns, retraining our habits. So when people say they have tried church stuff and they have failed, and they need to ask the question, well, how often did you go to church? The answer a lot of times, well, all the time. So we ask more questions. Where were you last week? And the answer, well, no, I wasn't there. You see, a multitude of reasons why they didn't come to church, multitude of reasons, things for like sickness to soccer. But most people, folks, most people don't even realize how much they actually miss church. And if I asked one of you, when was the last time you ate your dinner, you would know it. Amen? And that now you know exactly your last meal, amen, and you know exactly what you eat and what you didn't eat. Folks, no one wins a race. No one achieves success. No one becomes the best without disciplining themselves to do what it takes to win. Paul is saying, if we don't apply the same principles to our spiritual life, we will not be overcomers, and we will eventually quit because we don't see results in our spiritual lives. Now, more and more people are experiencing spiritual malnutrition because they have let so many other things keep them from spiritual feeding. You see, the first sign of malnutrition is weakness. There's no strength. They succumb to disease. They lay around a lot. They begin to physically and emotionally and mentally become so weak that you lose your appetite for food, and soon you will die. It is the same spiritually. When you are malnourished spiritually, you cannot withstand the attacks of the enemy. You are easily offended. You are more apt to complain. You begin to withdraw, and then you lose the desire to eat spiritual food. And of course, the inevitable happens. You grow so weak that you die spiritually. And when you feel like serving God, the least is when you need to feed yourself the most. You see, it's called discipline. Discipline. You cannot tell me, folks, that a football player gets up every morning wanting to play football. You see, they don't get up every day wanting to practice in 100-degree weather because they like it. You know why they do it? I'll tell you why they do it. If they don't get up, somebody else will, and they will lose their multi-million dollar contract. If you plan to achieve your destiny, it will require discipline from yourself. Folks, we have to break out. In order to fulfill your destiny, you have to move beyond where you are right now. Come on. And it goes back to what I said. If you always do what you've always known to do, you don't need God. If you always do what you feel comfortable doing, you don't need God. Because God wants to get us out of our comfort zones to where we depend upon Him. We have to break out. In order to fulfill your destiny, you have to move beyond where you are right now. Come on, worship Him. Now, you see, usually God will move us into new territories. We don't like that kind of stuff. God will move us into a new type of worship. He will move us into new kinds of knowledge and new skills and new anointings. In Isaiah 48, verse 18, says, "Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea." Now, maybe you have been challenged mentally. Maybe you've been challenged emotionally. Because someone else is sitting in your favorite seat tonight. I know it's there. Folks, listen. To fulfill your destiny, get ready to kick the end of the rut out and move into something new with God. Come on, folks. Kick that rut out. You know what else we need to do? We need to learn how to fail. I know I'm blowing your theology plumb out of the water. But folks, if we are going to move out into new territory, we will encounter failure. You know why we don't like it? It's called pride. Come on. You have to learn from your mistakes. But folks, you keep looking forward. Now, when you're driving, You know, you occasionally look up in that mirror and see what's going on behind you. But you need to keep your eyes focused on the road ahead. Because if you sit there and you keep looking in that mirror, something's going to happen called an accident. Right? So don't let your mistakes, don't let your failures keep you from your destiny. Amen? How often do we do that? Well, I'm afraid to do this because I've messed up over here. So what? We keep looking in the rearview mirror and it keeps messing up our destiny. Come on, folks. God wants you to get a hold of Him and say, God, I don't care what has been in my past. I'm going to serve You. From here on out, you got a new person. Has anybody ever heard of Abraham Lincoln? You know, in 1831, Abraham Lincoln failed in business. So, in 1832, he tried something else, and he was defeated for the legislature. Then goes in 1833, his business went under again. So in 1835, his sweetheart died. 1836, he had a nervous breakdown. 1838, defeated by for speaker. 1840, he was defeated for an election. 1843, he was defeated for Congress. 1848, he was defeated for Congress again. 1855, he was defeated for the Senate. 1856, he was defeated for vice president. 1858, was defeated for the Senate again. He should have quit. But this what? 1860 was elected for president of the United States. The man just don't quit. You ever heard of Babe Ruth? Babe Ruth was known for his home run record. But guess what, folks? You know what else Babe Ruth owns? He owns the record for the most strikeouts. You have to learn from your mistakes. But folks, let me tell you something. You got to learn from your mistakes, but I don't want you to live there. Don't live back there. Keep going forward. You have to also give yourself to fulfilling God's purpose for this generation. Folks, God wants to use us here tonight. If you catch anything here tonight, I want you to leave here saying, Brother Roberts is insistent that God wants to use me. Come on, love Him. Give yourself to fulfilling God's purpose for this generation. Folks, it is very easy to be focused on our own agenda. You say, what are you talking about? Well, I want what I want from this life. And you want it so bad that you forget the ultimate purpose. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of things I'd like to have. But what does it matter if I can't do God's will? Come on. Really? I can't take anything with me. You've heard the old saying, you can't take, you never see a U-Haul truck in a funeral procession. You can't take any of this with you. But what I want to take with me, as many people as I can. As many people that have this need for God to touch their life. Let me tell you something. I feel that I'm a very blessed man. And I want people to experience the things that God has blessed me with. That's what's important to me, folks. Who cares if I have the biggest house and the most property and the most fancy cars? And who cares if I have a huge bank account? there's souls around us going to hell. Our mission is to not be great people or to see how much we can accomplish. Our mission is to use our talents and our abilities to reach others for Jesus Christ. That's our mission. You see, when you look at Matthew 25, Jesus uses the illustration of the men whom the master had given certain valuable talents to. And Jesus taught on this example about a talent being an amount of money. But the root word that is used is to bear or to carry. You see, it deals with what we have been given to carry in life. And Jesus was explaining how we are to use those gifts or those giftings to accomplish something. Let's stand here tonight. J.D. Rockefeller drove himself to be a success. He became a millionaire by the age of 23. And in 20 years, he became the world's richest man. At age 53, his health made it appear that death was indeed intimate, and that he was not expected to live much longer. And one night, as he struggled to fall asleep, everything that he had worked for was about to crumble all around him. And he, as he sat there and he struggled, he came to the realization that I cannot take anything with me when I die. So the next day, he embarked on a new way of living. You see, rather than hoarding money, rather than hoarding all of his possessions, he began to give away to those who were in need. He established the Rockefeller Foundation and made arrangements to give a portion of all that he had made to this foundation. His contributions led to the discovery of penicillin, the cure for malaria, tuberculosis, and influenza. You see, his resolution to give and not to get. You hear me? His resolution to give and not to get so revolutionized his life. John D. Rockefeller wound up living to the ripe age of 98 when he was not expected to reach the age of 54. Listen, folks, our obligation is to discover our purpose. Our obligation is to allow that purpose to become the driving force of our life. Our talents, our abilities, and destiny is to change the world one person at a time. Come on. I'm talking to some people that I want to see win the race tonight. We are in a race. I want to know who plans on finishing it successful for Jesus. God has a purpose for each of us here tonight. And that purpose, I'll read it again. Our obligation to discover our purpose and to allow that purpose to become the driving force in our life. Our talents, our abilities, and our destiny is to change the world one person at a time. How about it, Church of Pentecost? Come on. Can you talk to God tonight and say, God, I want to finish this purpose. I want the purpose, God. Hallelujah, to make this happen. Come on, you know people that God needs to get a hold of. Come on. Come on, get a hold of God.
Jesus is the best thing ever.